Billy Graham is 15 years older than you. He's 95 now.
Roberts was 15 years older than us.
Okay, they were the same age. You're 80 now. You had also heard about Billy Graham early on.
Yes.
Did you ever see him in those early years of your life?
While I was teaching in 1973, they had a key 73 event, Lausanne, Switzerland. The school paid my way to go. And I met him there and shook his hands. And later was to meet him many times at ORU when he'd come and visit with us there, and I'd have lunch with Billy Graham and Oral.
You must have been taken as a young man, though, these two, in your thinking and talking evangelism yourself.
I was overwhelmed with Billy Graham. I could go to a crusade and watch those people go down there, and I'd weep. Wish I was doing that. But Nancy and I never sought any particular ministry. We were called about it and had to make sure God was calling us. I was never sure that God was calling me to be an evangelist. And I didn't dare go. I was so dependent on his leadership. And I'd learned how to depend. That was the most solid thing in the ministry that we were having.
What ministry do you think you were being called to if it wasn't evangelism?
Well, that's why we're planning to go back to Memphis, live there, and do evangelism from there. In the latter part of our being at Candler, finishing the doctorate. While I was finishing the doctorate, Ben Johnson, who'd started the Lay Witness Mission, good friend of mine, called me and said, they're having a Holy Spirit conference in Chattanooga. That's more your thing than mine, but come drive up there with me. So we drove to Chattanooga. E. Stanley Jones was supposed to speak in the middle of the program. His plane didn't get there, and they asked me to preach. And I got up and preached in the freedom of the Spirit. Turned out Bob Stamps was there. Bob Stamps was chaplain at ORU. He invited me to come for chapel at ORU. So I came out for a Friday chapel thinking I'd preach and go back to Atlanta, and that'd be the end of it. But when I finished preaching that morning, I had shared about my eyes. Bob Stamps had encouraged me to. When I finished preaching, Oral got up out of the bleachers. He had sat back there and rather down in front of me, and he was the first one down. He said, may I have the microphone? I made a mistake. I said, you're the proprietor. It belongs to you, and I gave it to him. And he started crying, and he said, I've been disobedient, and I need the student body to pray for me. I swallowed hard. He said, God wants me to build a university. And I've had fear that if I built a university, we'd lose the undergraduate school. And during my disobedience in the last 6 months praying about this, we've had more breaking of the moral code here than any time in my presidency. And I'm afraid that's rubbed off on you. I need to repent. I need you to pray for me. And he just dropped to his knees and started crying. And they sat there, maybe center. They just sat there frozen. And I guess kind of played Oral Roberts. I said, are you students going to sit there and look at him and pray for him? Are you going to pray for him like Oral Roberts prays for people? You want to come down here and lay your hands on him? And they came out of the bleachers. I mean, they came from every direction. I don't know anybody that didn't move out of the bleachers. And they were touching. Somebody was touching. Somebody was touching somebody until I got to Oral. And this one girl just broke out in tongues, and then she started praying for him. Said, Lord, he's a five-year-old with wrinkles. That overwhelmed me. He had the spirit of a 5-year-old person, but he was a man with wrinkles. I wish the world could have known that Oral Roberts. Something happened that day to me. I was willing to do anything, go into any kind of ministry. Well, Oral got up and announced, drying his tears, I'm going to ask Dr. Busker to speak to all the ministerial students in the morning. And then in the morning he announced, I'm going to ask him to do Saturday night watch. And I did Saturday night watch. Then Sunday morning, Oral told me he wanted to drive me back to the airport. I had to get back to teach at Candler. On the way to the airport, he said, we ought to have a theology school in this university. He said, if you were going to build a theology school, what would it be like? I told him all the good things we're doing at Candler and all the things I wish seminaries were doing. I used to say, if seminaries just do it this way, we'd have better pastors, better evangelists, better missionaries. He said, well, what way is that? And I said, well, seminaries are mind trips. It's too mental. The minds ought to be involved. The Holy Spirit will water the mind. I know that. I've heard you say that on your programs. But it ought not to be a mind trip. The Holy Spirit ought to lead, and the mind ought to track. He said, say that again, and I did. He said, say it again, and I did. He said, I want you to be the dean of that seminary. Gosh, I thought I was going to faint. I thought I was going to pass out. I said, oh, I don't know anything about deaning. He said, good. God will tell you everything you need to do, and it'll be his seminary. I'm glad you don't know anything. Well, I got on a plane and went back to Atlanta. Nancy and I prayed about it. Then Carl and Bob Stamps came out and talked to us in our den out there. And Carl, I was impressed with Carl. Carl was Mr. Education at ORU.
Carl
Hamilton, Dr. Mm-hmm. Carl Hamilton.
Yep.
He's brilliant. He knows academia, and he knows administration. 1960, Orwell said to him, Carl, you've been planning on doing a doctorate. When are you going to do it? He said, well, I want to go do one at Arkansas. He said, well, we're going to start a university. Don't you think you ought to get at it? So he went to the University of Arkansas and got his doctor's degree. He studied it knowing he was going to be a doctor of academics and a doctor of administration. Orwell had the visions, the big visions, but Carl Hamilton put those together. Orwell used to say to his nephew about building, now this is what's got to be in it, and I put the skin on it. Orwell was a visionary. Orwell was a man who looked at the future, and Carl made it happen in the present. It was something I never beheld before.
Let me take you back again and repeat, and maybe you've said it already. When Orwell was so moved after you spoke mm-hmm. in that chapel service, what was it again that was breaking him? What was his issue?
I thought in my own mind later that he was teaching the student body to be a healing and a praying people. But at the time, and I think this is right, at that particular time, I think his heart was broken because he's being disobedient to God.
In what way?
He was not starting a university. He okay. was not starting. He had it in his mind, but he hadn't started it.
Okay, but you talk about chapel, so I thought it was yeah. a chapel of his yeah. school, no?
Yeah. No. He wanted to add to the undergraduate. This was an undergraduate thing. Chapel, undergraduate chapel. And he and his faculty and Carl had been discussing a university.
Okay.
I go back to Atlanta.
Right.
Start talking about it with Nancy. And Nancy said, I don't understand. Y'all were saying schools would just do it this way. We'd have a lot better preachers and evangelists and missionaries. She said, I don't know Oral Roberts. I know Dean Laney. I love our dean here and our boss. And I don't know anything about Tulsa. I love Atlanta.
Yep.
We're happy for our children to grow up here, but it's going to be hard to live with you if you're being disobedient to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go get some boxes. We're going to ORU. They came back and met over with me and made a covenant together about the spirit leading and the mind tracking. Our children came with us. They were just young guys. They didn't say anything, just spoke to him, shook his hand, and then he wanted to pray for us. And when he prayed, you'd have thought Angela was his girl. You would have thought Chris was his son. He just read their minds and their spirits. It was wonderful.
Hmm.
Carl, Evelyn, and Orr got on our knees somewhere in that process and committed to the kind of university we were dreaming about.
That would have been 1976.
That's right, 1976.
All right.